You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Three men hunched over microphones at a bar on High Street on a Monday might arouse suspicion, but we assure you, don't be alarmed. It's another edition of the Massive Report podcast live from Hendox. Mike Kroski is here. Sam Fahmy is here. I'm Brian Phillips from CD1025 Radio. And fellas, on Monday nights, if this team does not start scoring goals, the podcast will be canceled and we're just going to play Kiss Pinball for 2 hours and drink beer because they do have a Kiss Pinball machine here.
Excellent.
It tempts me every week. And every week I go, no, we're busy. We got to do the podcast. But there is a Kiss Pinball machine here at Hendox. We are brought to you by 180 Property Development for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. We appreciate it so much. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. I'm a positive guy. I try to stay positive. I just looked at the table on the ESPN app of MLS and the Eastern Conference. And despite the fact that the Crew have not scored a goal in weeks, seemingly, we're still in the playoff hunt. We are in fifth place in the Eastern Conference, though we do at this point have a losing record. And I suppose that's Don Garber's dream. He wants everybody to be in the hunt. I'm just looking at the standings, and I see Atlanta still in 10th place, Red Bulls struggling, Chicago actually a better record than Red Bulls, NYCFC, despite their affiliations with disturbing right-wing groups, are in the playoff hunt, and there's Orlando in 6th, which is just unacceptable as well. So you can see that it's just bizarro world at this point. DC United, though, is in first place, and of all the occurrences in MLS early in the season, I guess that's the one that makes the most sense. Well, we're going to revisit last Wednesday with DC United here at home in Moffray Stadium, and then we'll go down to Houston if we have to and talk about that mess. But let's start with DC United. I will say that there is something, and I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where we debated how the league can and the clubs can promote opposing players that are exciting to fans without appearing to not care about their own team. And I will admit that seeing Wayne Rooney in person for the first time in my life, you got that feeling that you were watching a legend. And I appreciate it. I didn't want him to do well. But it was kind of cool.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, a couple weeks ago when Ibrahimovic was in Vancouver, they interviewed Felipe Martins and asked him, what do you think of the crowd? And he said, well, I'm kind of ticked off because they're rooting for Ibrahimovic, not their home club. But there's a difference between rooting for somebody like Rooney when they visit Columbus and appreciating his career and the abilities that he has on the field. And I think you can definitely market a guy like Rooney, and you should market a guy like Rooney because it just helps the league. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're pro DC United all of a sudden, right? It just means that you appreciate what this guy's done in his career. You understand how good he is. And when he scores a free kick as beautiful as what he did against the Crew, all you can do is go, you can only applaud a little bit.
Here's the thing. I was watching him, and he never touched the ball that I saw until he scored the free kick goal, and I forget what minute that was, but we were kind of into the game at that point. But, you know, DC United, you know, they're going to look to win fouls in dangerous spots because unlike anyone else in this league that I can think of off the top of my head, he's money on those situations.
Absolutely.
He hits the ball with such force but puts it exactly where he wants it. And there were some people sitting behind us, and we were chit-chatting about Rooney, and there was one of the five or six corner kicks that he took, and there was one where, and I forget the guy's name, but 23, big presence.
Devin Pines.
Devin Pines for DC United. He's right in the box. He's one of the tallest people there. And I said, look at 23. Rooney's going to put it right off the top of his head.
Yeah.
And sure enough, right off the top of his head. He's one of those. It's like when Phil Mickelson makes one of his flop shots out of a deep bunker
right.
and puts it exactly where he wants the ball to go. It's impressive. You can tell the difference between a really good golfer and that has a solid short game and someone like Phil Mickelson, who's one of the best that I can think of.
Sure.
And so Rooney, at this point, he's not, he doesn't have the pace that he did, nor would we expect him to.
Right.
But he still has that short game, so to speak, and it was impressive.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you can say that about all these guys that have come in the league the last few years. I mean, Ibrahimovic has struck some like that. You know, a couple years ago with Kaká and Lampard, guys like that. I mean, yeah, can they run at the pace and strength that they had 5, 6, 7 years prior? No, but these guys understand the game, and they're so much smarter. They're so much – they're a step or two ahead of every other player on that field that whatever they lack in athleticism, they can make up for in that, sure, in that soccer IQ.
Absolutely. Well – and the crew didn't give up a lot of those opportunities. The final score was 1-0. But again, no goals. Did you see anything in that game that gave you hope? Can you remember back?
Yeah, I can. I felt like they had opportunities. I think they had something, even more crosses in this game than the previous game, mm-hmm, where they made crosses their number one objective. I think it was 44 crosses, if I'm not mistaken,
okay,
in that game. So you go, okay, at some point, something's going to happen.
The law of averages are
going
to catch up.
100%. But it certainly didn't extend itself to Houston, which I really didn't think it would, because Houston's always been a tough place for the crew to pull out results in the way they've, in the way Houston's been playing. It seemed very unlikely that something positive would happen. But the fact that they got all those crosses, they had some shots. You know, Robinho almost scored in that game, I think, twice. You know, Hamid made a few, I think two or three pretty solid saves in that match where you just go, we're right there, we're right there, we're knocking on the door. But how long do we have to wait until we kick the door down? We've been knocking on the door for, it seems like, a month. And the last three games, you know, in 8 days, three games, one goal. I don't want to knock on the door anymore. I want to kick it open. And mm-hmm, how Porter goes about doing that, I'm going to be curious.
I think the point that you look at is that you can be close all you want. If you don't put the ball in the back of the net, it counts for naught.
Right.
And to be fair, I don't think they played a bad game against DC.
Absolutely.
I don't think they played a bad game at all. They actually played pretty solid. Well. They had, like Mike said, they had some great opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net. But right now, they can't find the back of the net to save their life.
Well, and this is a team that cannot afford to give up the first goal, especially early on. And that goofy goal that Houston scored in, what, the fifth minute,
yeah,
on Saturday night, Lawless drew into the lineup, and he's fast. Well, I don't care how fast you are, and this is any level of soccer. My daughter's team plays better on defense when they're facing the ball,
right,
and when they can keep the game in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where they struggle, where any team struggles, is when you have to turn and chase. And there are people that have speed that can certainly recover and make a play, but he didn't do it, and it was a silly goal. I'm sure Zach Steffen had to be beside himself.
Well, I mean, our good Australian Houston buddy, Greg Benson, mentioned Ellis last week, and I don't know if you guys play FIFA ever, but he's one of the first guys I pick up when I play FIFA.
Oh,
because
yeah?
Well, on FIFA, all you need is a guy to just blaze down the field,
right?
And that's what he's good for. All right, and he showed it right there in that play. Because it's not like Lawless has bricks on his feet. That dude can fly,
yeah,
too.
He can run.
But he got, like, he was standing still. He got blown by.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the goal just kind of flicked off, who was it for Houston? Off of his foot. I mean, it got deflected. And, you know, Steffen was diving one way. The ball gets deflected, goes in. It was just silly. But it just seems to be par for the course right now. Now when it comes to goals, and you talk about the crew giving up a goal, they're already in their own head. We
right.
can't score. And then when you give up a goal early, it's compounded by five, it seems like. And then they really can't score. So you're absolutely right. They cannot give up a first goal at this point.
This has kind of been the bane of this specific team for several years. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this because, you know, in the great scheme of things, I don't think Porter really changed a lot. I think he actually tried to make them speed up their possession game, as in not as many passes to try. I think with Greg, they kept passing and passing and passing until you get that opening. But maybe not as much with Porter, but this has been an issue for a while. If this team does not score early, if they fall behind, it's very, very tough for them to come back. So, and in the great scheme of things, the only people that Porter added to this team has been draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Because even Robinho was added by Greg's system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so There's a good article by our good friend Guillerme on Massive Report today talking about how the crew needs to spend if they're going to fix these woes. And to be honest, this is kind of the path that I expected. I expected that Porter is going to stick with what he has for the first half of the season. And then once the summer comes, then he's going to start pulling some cards and seeing what you know, filling in what needs he feels like he is lacking in. And if you look at his substitution patterns, you know, it's very evident that he realized that he's lacking in some spaces. So he'd almost rather not substitute than substitute with what he thinks might not be sufficient.
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny you brought up that the article because I wanted to mention that as well. But, you know, Guillermo mentioned some big things here with, I mean, look at the teams that are scoring goals. You know, it's L.A. and L.A. Of course, I mean, they have gobs of money. So that's a different thing. So we can't really talk about them. But I think if you put us in the same ballpark of like a Sporting Kansas City even, and their ownership group certainly spends money. And now we can't say anything about this ownership group because they've been running the show for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Really. But the reality is the game has changed. The league has changed. And you do have to spend money. And this is a great article. I highly recommend anybody read it. It's on the front page of Master Report right now. Guillermo did a wonderful job, if it would move on my screen. But, you know, when I think that's the kind of blueprint we have to have is, like, even a Portland. And I'm not just saying that because that's where Porter came from, but same kind of idea. Now, I think Paulson has, probably about the same kind of change that the Haslams have, right, if they're going to
At least his dad does.
Well, true, yeah, right. So, but I think if you go off those blueprints, you can make something happen. So it's just about it's not playing what's the thing that the A's did, Moneyball?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the MLS version of that.
Okay.
And it can happen. And it can still be successful in this league. But I think we're starting to get to a tipping point. If you see the winners of the MLS Cups the last 3 years are teams that have spent real change.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing to be concerned about is that in those games they have let in some really silly goals.
Yeah.
That they, I mean, this is a team that recorded 4 shutouts in its like first 5 or 6 games. And what happened to that defense? Where did it go? Since that Atlanta game,
yeah,
they've like almost like they completely lost all confidence in what they do after they looked very, very solid and they looked like they had a plan to endure that pressure.
Well, think about that. We lost Offal to the broken jaw. Sorrow's been in and out. Williams has done a nice job, but you don't have that, I think, of any part of the field where you need to try to be as consistent as possible with your personnel. It's in the back, and it's in the middle specifically. And those little glitches in communication and spacing make a big difference, don't they?
Oh, 100%. And I think with Lawless, you saw in this game the lack of game minutes this year. I mean, he looked off his game
because he hasn't played in a long time.
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, did he go on loan at all? I don't think he did.
Not.
I didn't think so.
No.
So clearly, I mean,
the other Aboubakar did.
Okay, so you know, he clearly looked it. I mean, that goal happened, I think, in the 3rd or 4th minute, and it showed. I mean, his play was off, and even the rest of the game, he just looked a tad slow. Not in terms
of
pace.
And I bet you that was probably part of the game plan. Hey, this is a left back who has not played all year. Mm-hmm. Go after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well,
absolutely.
You would think so. So, I feel like I don't want to spend a lot of time belaboring these games because I feel like we're just saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
Coming up, though, we're going to preview the return engagement with DC United. Who made this schedule? I don't know. Maybe it's an advantage.
This is peak MLS.
Yeah. Maybe it's an advantage to just play a team almost on the back of already playing them. I don't know. It to your advantage. But, Mike, I gave you some homework before I even got my beer here at Hendox tonight. I put you in charge of making the crew lineup for Saturday's game at DC United, 8 p.m. kickoff, a little bit later than we were used to. And I trust that you've come up with a starting 11, and that's really going to be the guts of our preview of the game. I want you to give us your starting 11, your dream starting 11. Tell us why you selected this player over that player. And then if you want to make any tactical changes, that's up to you. You're playing FIFA on your computer.
You could just scroll
through the different formations and come up with your own formation. You have the controller in your hands, Mike.
Caleb Porter, watch out.
The only thing is you can't bring in the guy from Houston that you put in. You have to
use the parts that are
available.
Greg is still in Houston, so you. Oh, no, you're talking about the player.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have you make us a starting 11 for DC United. It's a huge game. We're in fifth place.
It's D.C., then Montreal at 17 points as well. That's kind of shocking. Philadelphia at 14. That's stunning. Toronto, they're back. They have 13 points. And here's Crew also at 13 points in fifth place. Orlando with 12. NYC with 12. And then it gets really bad there towards the bottom of the conference. So, you know, the whole season is ahead of us. But really, the season is between now and the end of July when Zach Steffen says goodbye and heads to Manchester and Manchester City. We have got to sock away points.
Absolutely.
And to do that, we need goals. So when we come back on the Massive Report, Mike is going to reveal his starting 11 that's going to score three or four goals at D.C. United on Saturday night. We're back in a moment here from Hendox. We are back in the Massive Report and Hendox. We're here every Monday. Come down and hang out. Right by the pool table and not the KISS pinball machine, which I'm now obsessed with. Sam, Mike are here, and I'm Brian. And a couple of reminders here. We're about to preview DC United and Crew at DC United this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. But then we're back home in Moffray Stadium for another bizarre scheduling quirk as MLS has decided to just ship both LA teams in one after the other Wednesday, May 8th. That's pretty interesting evening for Galaxy to be here because our hero is now the manager of LA Galaxy. Skrlota is here. Ibrahimovic, why wouldn't he be here? Is he going to do the David Beckham?
Well, and that's very possible that he does do the David Beckham. Oh. I mean, it wouldn't be the first or the last time.
Well, we need
some
to win.
Name
so
decided
fine.
Not to come.
Stay home. That's okay.
No, he'll be here because generally those guys don't come because of turf issues. There's no turf issues here.
Well, we have
well, yeah, tell
grass.
That to David Beckham for like 4 years in a row.
Well, yeah, that was weird. I mean, he came that one time, and then he got lit up by the Nordeca with the streamers and all that kind of. Do you remember that
well,
when he was taking
no,
the corner?
So he came in 08. Mm-hmm. So 08 stands in my mind because that was my first year. And you were talking about marketing other teams' players.
Uh-huh.
In 2007, before I had any involvement with the Crew, and I not hated MLS, but MLS was difficult for me. To watch, I got a David Beckham jersey for Christmas from my mother-in-law.
Mm.
And then the following year, obviously, I was like, you know, I'd had the same attitude, whether about Rooney or about David Beckham, is like, I have watched these guys play for Manchester United since I was a kid. Of course, I'm like, I can't believe myself that I'm 10 feet away. But yeah, Gino Padula shut him down hard that game, and it was fantastic. He got nothing. He couldn't get anywhere. Gino was on top of him.
So maybe he didn't return because of that or because during the summer our humidity is so stifling it was bad for his hair. But I will tell you this.
He has good hair.
I will tell you this, that back in the day, Kyle Martino used to be a common guest on my show. And when he retired from LA Galaxy because his hips were just like, the hips don't lie, as the song goes, it was like he couldn't play anymore. And he was so excited because he got to finally go to Bonnaroo. Mm. And Fish was the headliner, which they are this year. And he was just texting me going, dude, that was my text. He was so excited. The next night, Bruce Springsteen plays, and we sit out in the field. Bonnaroo is on a farm. Yeah. I mean, it's now a whole concert site, but it's in a field. We sat in a field with a bottle of tequila, and his brother was there too, and he just told stories. And he said, you know what? David Beckham is a great guy and a great teammate. I remember he would always have us over to his house on the beach in Malibu or wherever, and they would build a fire on the beach, and Kyle Martino would play guitar and sing songs to his LA Galaxy teammates. So as much fun as it is to ride David Beckham, I can report from Kyle Martino that he is actually a really good guy. I don't know why he kept skipping us.
Yeah, that was weird because, again, he came that one time, yeah. And then it just what was it? Does anybody remember?
No,
I don't have any
so long ago.
Anymore. Yeah.
I think he was hurt like for a couple of times. And then he was just like not like they did like a back-to-back like a Wednesday, Saturday type of deal. And instead of he played the Wednesday game and instead of coming over with the team for the Saturday game, he'd just fly back to L.A.
Yeah. Well, he could pretty much do it. Maybe he just wanted to build a fire on the beach. I don't know. So at any rate,
I wouldn't blame him. I'd like to build a fire on the beach right
now.
It's
nice. It is nice. So on Wednesday, May 8th, L.A. Galaxy. On May 11th, LAFC. Is this their first visit here? It is. Interesting, and they are top the table in the West.
Yeah,
so
I believe
those are
we
two
lost to them 4-1 last year.
Yeah, yes. Interesting games, important games. The old U.S. national team manager, Mr. Bradley, is the manager of LAFC. So you got that. You like booing his son? Boo the father.
I can't. For the time that he spent in Egypt during some very turmoilish
time
the national team, I have nothing but thanks for the man.
Okay.
He came real close to getting Egypt to qualify too, right?
Yeah, he did. And it was like...
Why couldn't he do a good job raising his son then? That kid's a dick. I don't like
but
that guy.
I mean, if I run to Bruce, or if I run into Bob Bradley, I'm definitely expressing the gratitude of my people.
Fair enough. You know, that you do what you can for your kids, and you hope that they turn out great. And sometimes they turn out like Michael. Sniveling little shitty.
Not this Michael. Bradley. Not me.
Yeah.
Do you have to bleep that?
Because I really don't like that guy. All right. At any rate, we digress. You can win tickets to both those games just by paying attention to the Massive Report next Monday when we have to preview both. All these double dipping keeps us quite busy. We have DC United on Saturday night, and our preview will consist of Mike giving us his dream starting 11. As we said, he's playing FIFA 2019.
Here we go.
He has the controller in his hand, and he can make the lineup that he wants. And then perhaps he will scroll through different formations and change tactics as well. I don't know. We're playing FIFA 2019 crew and DC United this Saturday. What do you got?
All right. So to start, I'm going to go with what I think Porter might do if he's really going to make some radical changes, quote unquote, because he has mentioned in the beginning of the year that he's toyed with the idea of going into a 3-5-2 formation. Okay, so for those who may not quite understand what I'm talking about, that means three defenders, five midfielders, two forwards. Now, generally, the five midfielders, they're going to be two holding mids, mm-hmm. kind of in front of
and
the
those
three defenders.
Who would those people be?
Generally, Will Trapp and Artur.
Yeah.
So, and then three more attacking-minded midfielders,
okay.
and then two forwards. All right. So with that
would be a radical change.
Yeah.
There's no question.
He said he's done a lot of studying up on that formation and how it could potentially work with this group. So if I'm Porter and Lord knows it can't get any worse than what we've been seeing lately in terms of goal production, I'm going to go like this from front to back. Obviously, Stefan in goal. All right. The three.
Good choice.
Yeah, I know. I had to toil over that one.
Wouldn't that be from back to front?
Okay, I know what he's talking about.
That's a good point, team. Right. You got me. How about this? Back to front, left to right. That's what we're going to do.
There we go.
All right.
Fair enough.
So this is unfortunate. Because I feel uncomfortable now saying Lawless being – or Abu Kubar or whatever the heck. Him being in the three.
Abu Bakar.
That, whatever. Let's go with Lawless. Just thought easier to
okay.
say. Him and then Mensah and then Sorrow. That'd be the three-man back line.
Wow. Okay? So Sorrow has to play on the edge.
Yeah.
Is he comfortable there?
I just think Mensah is that stalwart that you want holding it down right in the center.
Okay.
All right?
Fair enough.
So then, of course, the two you would have Artur and Trapp. As the holding mids, and then from left to right.
Here's where it gets interesting.
Let's get crazy. All right, left to right. I have Nico Hansen at left.
I like it. I want to see him play.
I have Higuain at attacking mid, Robinho on the right.
Okay.
And the forwards being Zardes. We're going to throw Santos up there with him because.
Wow.
I know, it's radical, but he's the only guy who's scoring.
Okay.
And so I don't want to take him off the field.
Wait. He scored one goal. Okay, he scored two goals.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the last, like, four games. He scored one goal that was a
nobody
chip
else
shot.
Has scored.
That's a flood. That is a flood of goals.
It was a chip shot on a goalie right
for this team. For this team, he is the one scoring goals, which isn't saying much. The bar is low.
He's got the same number of goals as Gaston Sarr. Then put Sarr up top for crying out loud.
Now, hold on a second.
When he flips that piece of paper over, Sarr is the striker.
Starting striker.
Yeah,
it's going to be like a 3-6-1, and Sarr is up top there. No, but, I mean, I think Santos, another reason why is because his work rate is pretty good defensively, but I think Robinho really hustles back a lot.
He does.
So I would like to keep Robinho on more of a midfield role in the 3-5-2. And Santos can just focus on when he gets the ball striking because he's not afraid to shoot. Zardes doesn't want to shoot. He wants to get inside the six and shoot. Santos will take the ball and shoot anywhere. So if Higuain or anybody feeds him the ball, he can strike it.
Do you think that Zardes doesn't want to shoot because he's going for too perfect of a shot? Or do you think he's instructed not to shoot in certain areas?
I would doubt at this point, I hope it's not instruction to not shoot.
What, as a coach, would you ever tell anyone to not shoot if they had a shot?
No, absolutely not. I mean,
you don't pass up shots.
Yeah, and I think with Zardes,
what if you're in a certain area of the field where you're not that good, and like, let's say it's a longer shot or, you know, something like that.
Well,
I wouldn't want him there anyway.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, Zardes needs to be in from about the PK spot and on. I don't want him collecting the ball real high at this point.
But right now, this is what you're having. I mean, you're having Higuain collect the ball in the in the defensive end.
Absolutely.
You know, so you're telling Zardes not to collect or to take his shot from the penalty spot forward. So what if he collects a shot and, or he collects the ball and he has an open shot at the top of the key?
At this point, I don't know how Porter could tell anybody or give anybody a hold it, don't shoot, just take shots at this point. Because at this point, we're working.
Pepper the goalie.
Yeah, absolutely. At this point, we're looking for that perfect goal, like you mentioned last week, Brian. We're trying to find this perfect goal that doesn't exist, that doesn't come up.
Perfect goal does not happen unless, you know, you're Rooney and you're in a dead ball situation. You get to line it up. Then you get the perfect shot.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, you got to take it when it's there. Take the good shots and quit waiting and hoping and praying for the perfect shot because it ain't there.
Yeah. I also mulled over about, instead of having Santos up there, throw Mullins, because he only played in the one game, but he was on an island by himself. I don't think that's a strength of his. He has scored some goals in this game, in this league. He can. So maybe as somebody like that, if you want to get a little more traditional in terms of forward. But at this point, I think you get your best players out there. And I think once you get a fully healthy Nico Hansen, he gets his fitness back, is he going to play more than 55, 60 minutes? Probably not, right? So that's when maybe you drop Santos back, you throw in a Mullins or a J.J. Williams at that forward spot, depending on where we are in the game, what the score is, and things like that.
All right, let's say, let's game theory this out. Let's say it's the 75th minute and the Crew are up 1-0 because your positioning, your tactical change has resulted in a Santos goal.
Okay.
And we're up 1-0, and we got to protect the lead, and we only have 3 in the back. How are you handling this situation?
Some coaches just say keep going with what got you there, and I understand that. But I think at about that time, that's when you could start going. You can sub in another defender for an attacking player, and you go to what you've been doing, which would be the 4-2-3-1, because you've seen how that works defensively. And if you can't hold down a lead for 15 minutes plus with that, you don't deserve
to get a result. Have you watched this team? In like the last like 4 years,
but here's,
I mean, seriously.
No, I get it. But this, if they can do like what Brian said, I really believe that with that back line, when they're clicking, even though, you know, we lost Milton before the season even started, we lost King, what, 3-4 weeks into it, right? They can hold it down, especially with Stefan. We take an extra layer there, right? So now, if it were like that and we have like a Bendick or Kempen in goal, I don't know. I'm going to think about it a little more. But I really believe that at that point, yes, you make the adjustment and you get into the 4-2-3-1.
How hard is it as a coach at a professional level to just go, okay, we've been doing it this way for a long time with a lot of the same guys, and now we're going to a completely different formation, and tactically we're blowing the whole thing up. How long would you think it would take to put that in where in the middle of the season?
Well,
where the players and the coach would be comfortable with what they were seeing, what they were doing.
I think one of the biggest thing is, as a coach, yes, you have your identity, your philosophy. And then with Porter, obviously, it's a 4-2-3-1. But you would have to assume that he's thrown in other looks, you know, like a 3-5-2, especially if it's something he's been kicked around, or 4-3-3, which is another formation I was writing down. So I think as a coach, even if it's the last 20 minutes of a couple of practices and here and there, hey, situational plays happen. Now we need to go into this. Because, you know, if you're down 2-0, you're going to have to go into that anyway, right? You can't just stay into what hasn't been working. And especially now with the way this team has scored one lucky goal, like you said, Sam, in 3 games, if the players can't recognize that it's time to do some massive, not tweaking, overhauling, then we need to ship them out and get some guys in who want to buy in.
Which might happen sooner than we think, but might happen at the next open opportunity.
Right? Sure. That's the thing about international soccer that's interesting, is that unlike other sports here in America, there are players that you've never heard of playing in leagues that you didn't know existed, where you would hope that
somewhere a scout is watching a guy like Ola Kamara was playing in Norway.
Yeah.
You don't think about
Mohammed
Norway.
Said.
Yeah. I mean, there are guys out there, and rather than I gave up a long time ago complaining about MLS and, you know, putting these players in certain places where they can be marquee media names. We have to, as you mentioned, Mike, the book Moneyball, the movie Moneyball. It's a great book. You know, the Oakland A's figured out a long time ago that they had to do things differently, and they had to find value where others didn't even look. And we have to do the same thing. And it's not so much about, you know, a guy who can walk a lot. In baseball, it's just there are so many players in the world, and they're out there, and we just got to find them. And you're right. If this bunch can't do it, there's got to be a magic bullet or two out there somewhere, and right. We have the dollars, I would think, to put behind it. You know, we have new owners. They're not going to sit and, you know, the Browns, their other enterprise, they're going to be in the playoffs this year. They're going to get so addicted to winning that they're going to want to phone. They're not going to put Johnny Manziel on this team, but we're going to find somebody out there, I would think.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fascinating summer, and we can take solace in the fact that even through it's been rough and the weather's been terrible, this team is still in the hunt.
Right.
And better days are ahead, I think. But you do have to get it done by the end of July.
I mean, if you are truly panicking,
I'm not
saying you in general. I'm saying, you know, listener, if you're panicking or if you're upset or whatever, just remember for the last 4 years, we've had those summer slumps where
sure.
We get 1 point out of like five or six
we're
games.
We're getting it out of the way now.
2 points out of 10, whatever. So maybe hope that this is we're getting it out early, and this team is going to go on. But, you know, I think realistically, are you done with your preview?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take your notes there. We're going to go to the Hendox fax machine,
and send them
which
over.
Is way back in the back there, and we're going to fax your it's lineup
right
over
to the
coach.
Well, let me add one more thing. I thought of this when I was watching the DC United game over the weekend. They were talking about Paul Arriola. All right, when they were playing, was it Minnesota yesterday? I think it was Minnesota.
Yes.
Okay. They were talking about – so they went in kind of this 5-3-2 thing. You can call it a 3-5-2, whatever you want. And Arriola was more in a left wing back type of role. And so the commentators prior to the game asked him, you know, what do you think in this role? He goes, well, I don't really like playing defense, but I get it because, it, you know, in the wing back you're going to be pushing up just as much as you would as a left midi or even you'd be pushed up just as much as a winger. Here's my thing. I was annoyed that a professional player would even say, I don't like playing defense. It's like, hey, just because you're on the – whether you're on the back line or not, every – this is what I tell my players. Every player – it's a yeah, it starts from the forward and works all the way back.
Yeah.
What do you mean I don't like playing defense? You're a soccer player.
Wow.
That's absolutely ridiculous. So my point is when it comes to this, when you're talking about a 3-5-2 or a 4-2-3-1, a 4-3-3, whatever they're going to do, whatever the role the coach says, you throw them – as a player, you should be happy that you're inside the lines and you can make an impact on
the
field.
Be a professional.
Absolutely.
To be fair, though, if you think about it, when the team is playing with this, 4-1-3-1-1 or whatever you want to call it, when the wingbacks go up and Will Trapp drops back, mm-hmm. that is essentially
it's a
3-5-2.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a 3-5-1-1, whichever you want to look at.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I don't think 3-5-1 necessarily is the answer.
3-5-2.
Or 3-5-2. Yeah, we take one out. Like, we need that.
That definitely wouldn't be an answer.
He's already faxed over his notes and his lineup.
Right.
It's too late.
I don't think 3-5-2 is the answer, but also 3-5-2 is completely useless if the two people up top can't get the ball in the net.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, any formation is at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to see, how can we get more players into the attack? That's my thing.
But you have – when you're bottling a team up to where they have 10 of their players in the box defending, which is literally what,
that's
DC,
what DC did.
Did.
Yeah.
You know, they put – that's why every cross was headed by a DC player out.
Absolutely.
The problem is it's coming out to a player and they're taking three passes as opposed to taking that ball and taking maybe one touch and then taking a shot on goal, which you hope for rebounds or mistakes or ricochets or deflections or something. You know, and that's the problem is that when they got backed up there, they kept passing it back, trying to bait them to come out. But in doing so, they kept losing the ball because they couldn't connect passes. So none of that was going to help if a team stacks up like that.
It's so important for this team to get the first goal. I mean, you know, Minnesota beat them 1-0. It's not like DC United is racking up the goals. We need to get the first one, and especially when they're at home, we need to pull them out of their comfort zone and get some space going. I think that's key. All right. Well, I love your thoughts,
Mike. There's one thing that we haven't mentioned at all in all of this. Turnovers. This team has committed some turnovers that have been ridiculous and have directly led to goals. And this is a major issue to address also.
Yeah, it is.
Is that if you can't control that turnover game, and I'm not turnover game, it's like that sounds very basketball-y, but it's like no, don't be lackadaisical about your pass and make sure that it connects to your teammate. Or if it doesn't connect, make sure you defend the person who blocked that pass or who cut that pass off.
Well, between segments, we were talking about this thing that and I've watched a lot of youth soccer over the years, as you guys have. And the one encouraging thing you say as a parent is that was a nice thought. And when I used to coach little kids, I go, that was a nice thought.
Good idea.
Because you're trying to – good idea. Because you can see that they're beginning to learn the game, and you can see what they're trying to do, but they don't have the physical skills yet to connect that pass that needed to be made to get the shot on goal. But I don't want to be yelling at my TV, nice thought, guys. And I see a lot of nice thoughts with this team, and I don't see enough – I see balls that are 90% of the way there. And they're headed away, you know. I see what they're trying to do, and it's not being done. But you're professionals being paid to play this game. The days of nice thought went away for these guys a long time ago, and I see a lot of nice thoughts.
Right. Yeah. At that level, and at the youth level, it's, hey, this is a consolation prize. We're at least progressing in a little bit, right? And the professional level, yeah, it's over. You execute or you're out. That's right. Really what it comes down to. Yep. It's a results-oriented business for sure. So, yes, you're right. There are a lot of this. Oh, that was a good idea. And that is okay if ultimately you get some goals along the way.
Sure.
But we're getting a lot of good ideas and knocking on the door like we talked about, but no goals.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap things up as we have DC United at 8 p.m. at DC United. Do they have that stadium all bolted down where stuff isn't falling down now? Do they still have that problem?
No. They're at Audi Field now. That one only floats.
No, I know. But their first game last year,
like hit a lady on the head.
The railings were falling. Do they have that all? Because I would assume some crew supporters are going. Are they in any danger of something falling on their head? Should they wear one of the hard hats from the old
96,
logo?
They should.
I would.
Well,
I
mean, you should always wear a helmet for safety.
Right.
So wear a helmet if you're going to the game. And you'll be going to the game if you win with us. It's Galaxy on May 8th, LAFC on May 11th at Mopfrey Stadium, and the Massive Report has your tickets. All right, we'll wrap things up when we come back on your Massive Report from Hendox. We are back at Hendox. We're going to wrap things up here in a moment on this week's edition of the Massive Report crew at DC United. 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday night. Why so late? Does anyone have any idea?
Is it for TV?
I have no idea.
It just said ESPN Plus on ESPN, so that means it's just our usual Sports Time Ohio thing. So, I don't know why.
The Capitals are out of the playoffs, so it can't be
that. Yeah, it can't be that, certainly. Well, you know, we flogged this dead horse of no goals long enough. But big picture, knowing what we know about who's going to be missing here in a few months, and being completely removing all emotion from our support of the team, what is a reasonable expectation for Crew SC by the time we hit early October and we're looking at playoff time?
I think losing Stefan, obviously, that's going to be negative points moving forward. What I'm concerned about, and I know we talked about a month ago, and Stanek wasn't all that concerned about it, but I do think there's a chance Trapp leaves.
Yeah, that's in the back of my mind, too. I haven't heard anything. I haven't read anything specific about. But when's the transfer window where he could go?
Starts
July
1st.
July 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, July
1st. So I would imagine the talk would start heating up as we segue from May to June. I don't know how early to start talking about. Where could he end up? Well, what's his level of play?
For me, he's like a on the top tier teams in the Scottish Premier League, or like he.
Well,
can
he's
play
been
in
connected
Greece.
To Rangers, hasn't he? Or yeah, is it?
Was it Rangers?
I think it was
okay.
Rangers.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that could be a great fit. A Greek team, something like that. It really just depends on what he wants.
Maybe somewhere in like France too. I could see him in like a middle of the table France.
Right. Absolutely. So, I disagree with Stanek and what he said that, well, he's too old. No, he's not. I mean, McBride left when he was 30 or 31.
Yeah.
You know, Trapp's 26.
Different right? position, though.
True. But at the same time, a center mid, even a holding mid, you don't have to run like you're a winger. You know what I mean? So, okay. I still think he could certainly go, if not this year, certainly next year.
What is – I have almost zero feel, because it's never on TV that I can see, for the Scottish – Premier League. I mean, what? Because they're overshadowed by the league to the south. I mean, what's their level
from top to bottom? I think you could even compare it to like an MLS in a way. Meaning, the upper echelon teams of MLS could bang with the upper echelon teams of there. I think they could actually do.
Yeah, I think they're only. It's only like it's not a big league, and you know, your big names are your perennials: Celtic, Rangers, Hearts. You know. That kind of thing. I think they could fit well in MLS.
Yeah.
Probably, I'd say the lower, 5-10 teams are probably more like a USL level.
Well, I would want him to aim higher then, if that's all it is. I mean, what's the point? Other than, maybe making more money.
Yeah, well, it's more money for sure. But secondly, it's also just kind of a different type of training environment than here. And also for a kid that he's born and raised here, just to do something different.
Where would the U.S. national team dream of him being? Would they just want him somewhere else? Do they want him here? What?
That's a great question. I'd be curious to – I'd have to put more thought on that, what Berhalter would want. But I think any kind of thing that takes you outside of your comfort zone, any coach would want. And, Trapp is comfortable here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's being pushed to a degree.
Literally.
Right? Yeah. So – for him to go to a team like that, and especially if it is like a Celtic or a Ranger, they play Champions League and things like that. That's a whole other level of play.
That's true.
So, you would want to have your players play in that type of environment, play at that type of level. So I get why somebody would want their – whether you're a coach or even as a player at his age, I could absolutely see why he would want to do it.
The Scottish League has – the Scottish Premiership has 12 teams.
Uh-huh.
It looks like the bottom two – are relegated, and then your top
are they
like
sent
I said,
to the Highlands?
Probably.
They have to live in like a sod hut. Yeah, like you don't actually play; you just live on the side of a mountain for a year.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But your name
got Braveheart on my mind.
Your big names are Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Aberdeen. Yeah.
Motherwell, Livingston, Dundee.
Yeah.
Not United.
Dundee
United. There's two Dundees.
Oh.
There's a Dundee and a Dundee United.
Wow.
Kind of like two LAs.
Regular unleaded Dundee.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But obviously, if we lost him, we already know we're losing Stefan. Let's say Will stays for the balance of the season, and we'll go 50-50 here. Zach, we already know, is gone. When we get to October, are we in or are we out?
In.
In? All right. How in? Are we in the play-in game?
If you're talking October...
Or they changed the playoffs, didn't they?
I was going to say, if you're talking October, the season's already over. I think this team still makes the playoffs. I don't know how yet, but I still think they have enough, just as is, they have enough to make the playoffs, even though they look awful right now.
My biggest thing with it is that I feel like this team, we bagged some points in the beginning that maybe we didn't deserve in a way. And I think we're starting to see, and again, I don't want to be a doom and gloom guy, not at all, but I'm trying to be realistic here. Take the fan hat off.
Yeah, right.
I think we're seeing a mediocre team.
Yeah.
And as well as Higuain has played, again, his age is going to catch up to him. Miram, I think, is a shell of his former self, and I don't know we're going to recapture that. So then it comes down to, can Santos and can Rubinho score? Santos scored a couple of goals. One was, like Sam said, luck. Rubinho has yet to find that. Now, he's still figuring out the league a little bit and all this kind of stuff. I get all that. But, I think losing Milton was rough. Missing King, All this stuff is. I think we are teetering on a playoffs run with that group at full strength, with those guys gone, and with Stefan leaving, and we're not collecting enough points right now while he's here. And if we do lose Trapp, I'm concerned. I'm very concerned if they don't make some moves, even if it's trading within MLS and picking up some guys that maybe aren't getting minutes on other teams, something like that. But it doesn't have to be anything drastic. That's the thing about MLS. You can catch fire at the end, and Lord knows
what
happens.
We've seen it. Yeah. We've seen it.
It's happened. Yeah.
Well, I feel like of all the teams in the league, and granted, this is the team that we watch and we obsess over, that they're really hard to handicap going forward because there are such a range of outcomes and such a range of moving parts, and there are so many unknowns. But, you know, it's kind of fun to kick it around. I don't know. I guess I see it as you do, sort of maybe, maybe not. If we do get in, we're definitely going to be seated pretty low. So it's going to be a rough ride to try to move on. But you know what? This is a transition year. We got new ownership, a new coach. This team in a year is going to look way different. I think we can agree on that.
Absolutely.
It's going to look way different than it does now. Caleb Porter did not have time to put his stamp on that. And a manager should get that privilege to put a stamp on his own team, especially one who's won an MLS Cup. So in a year, like half the roster – we don't know who they are right now.
Sure.
And some of the guys, like J.J. Williams, maybe he'll emerge, and maybe he'll be a goal-scoring threat for the Columbus Crew. We just don't know.
A guy like that, I really, again, I know we've talked about it. I just, at this point, why not put him in for more than 3 minutes in a game?
I agree.
Just see what happens.
He kind of pops off the screen because of his size and his speed and so forth. You know, why not?
But this is what we talked about earlier about, you know, Caleb Porter's substitution pattern is that if he looks at it and he says, I'd rather not sub than put any of these second, you know, non-starting 11s in, that's a significant issue.
Sure.
That's a problem.
Can you get your lineup out and change it and put J.J. Williams in and then fax that over
to
the coach?
I'm going
to
get on that.
Let's
now.
Let's see. Fax an addendum.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about this? All right. Well, you know, I think this is a good episode of the Massive Report to kind of spitball stuff around as we seek answers. But you know who has answered? And the answer was yes, was our old friend Alex Steck, who is now down southwest of here for a club that we won't mention. But a good friend of the podcast and a great person. And we need to congratulate her on her engagement. Do we know when she's getting married?
Not a clue.
Do we know if they're registered anywhere?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I can find out.
All right. Because are we invited? We don't know any of that.
Nope.
There's so much we don't know.
This just happened on Easter, so.
We're just going to have to bring the mics to the wedding and do the master
report.
We'll
do a podcast from there.
Have the Alex, reception.
Have Alex
wedding
in her wedding dress of doing a podcast.
Yeah, I like
that
it.
That would be a new one.
I like it.
So we have the Clippers game. We have a wedding.
That.
Yeah, I asked about that. We're still waiting for, you know, that they were like, huh, you want a what? You know,
that's
just
pretty
talk
much what
to
I expected, though.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Off the wall.
We'll get to
that's
that.
That's right.
We'll get to that. And also, Dan and Jesse are getting married the morning of May 11th, so they're in time for the LAFC game. I like that dedication. You know what? My wife would not have, and she's a huge Crew fan. Our whole marriage, we've been going to Crew games. But that would be where the line was drawn. Mm. We would not be getting married, and she wouldn't want to have to do both. You know, I understand. It's stressful.
Sure.
So, but God bless them, and many happy years together.
I will say my poor wife has joined me for a Crew game on her birthday.
Good for her.
When it was the Crew opener, because her birthday's in March.
And it's probably freezing.
It's freezing.
She's a good woman.
She's sitting in the stands with my friends as I am working the game, but she has done it before.
Wow. Well, she is a good woman.
Gotta applaud it.
God bless you, too. Are we done? I think we should wrap things up.
I guess.
You should listen next week because you'll have a chance to win not only tickets to LA Galaxy, but LAFC, as MLS is deemed that LA should be here twice in 3 days. You know, there are a lot of people around that don't know there are two teams in LA, and they're going to be confused. That was a dumb idea by MLS. The
it's
league
like playing
of
DC
dumb
in 1 week and yeah, 1 week
the,
and
the league
apart.
Of dumb
wait a minute,
ideas.
Wait a minute. What about our predictions?
Oh, right.
Thank you, Mike.
Do we really want to?
Yes. Yep. We do want to.
Didn't we speculate this entire episode?
Yeah. All right. Let's have some scores for DC United. Mike.
I'm going to go 1-1. We're going to get a result on the road that we haven't had lately.
Okay.
Positive result.
All right. Sam?
If you call a tie a positive result.
I do.
Okay.
In soccer, it is, because you literally get a point for
until they prove otherwise, which, you know, my motto is I always want to see improvement. And to a certain degree, like I said, I didn't see the Houston game, but I did see the DC game,
anything.
And it was not a terrible game.
No.
So, however, until they can prove they can score, I'm going to go 2-0 DC.
All right. If they use Mike's tactics and lineup, 4-0 crew.
Yes.
If they
Atta
don't,
boy, Brian.
0-0 draw. How about that?
It's not bad.
All right. So,
Caleb Porter, are you listening?
It's all in line. You can win 4-0 or draw 0-0. It's your choice. All right. Well, we're done here at the Massive Report here at Hendox. We're here every Monday. Come see us. We get started about 7 o'clock, and we couldn't do it without 180 Property Development. And we thank them for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. For Sam Fahmy, for Mike Krosky, for the people who couldn't be here tonight for their various reasons, I understand. I'm Brian Phillips. Listen to my radio station, CD 1025, and we'll talk to you next week on the Massive Report podcast.